shimmies the hips, he throws. And strike three called on the corner. Ball game over. The Red Sox win it in Toronto 4-3. Tyler O'Neill, a massive game-tying home run. Seydon Rafaela, the big knock to put him ahead. Kenley nails it down, and the Red Sox have won their third straight series, their fourth straight ball game. They're four games over 500, and what a night north of the border.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
Make it four in a row for your Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox take down the Toronto Blue Jays 4-3 at the Rogers Center. You just heard Will say it. They've won three straight series. They've been unbeaten now in six straight series. And the Red Sox are four games above 500 at 39-35. Joe Weil with you. Thanks for joining us on Red Sox Review. My man Zach Coe behind the glass. Nice to be linked up with Zach. It's been a couple weeks since we've worked together, but we are here to bring you Red Sox postgame here on Red Sox Review. And how about the Red Sox? This is a team that had been just sitting around 500 for so long. And not to say that four games above 500 isn't still being close to 500, but they're creating some distance. They're playing some great baseball. They've beaten some good teams. The Blue Jays, not one of them, but of course, coming off a great series against the Phillies, a great series against the Yankees, in which they took two out of three against both those teams. And now they take the first two of this three-game set against Toronto. They're now 9-9 against AL East foes this year. And the young players are shining again for this Red Sox team. It's something we're going to get into here on our show. And we want you to chime in 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. But Seydon Rafaela, he now has a 7-game hitting streak. And in that span, he's 16 for 26. He has posted six multi-hit games in that span as well. He delivers a big knock in this one, an RBI single in the eighth inning to give the Red Sox the lead. So he's stepping up. David Hamilton, we were worried about him, if he was actually going to be hurt after he had to be removed from the game last night. No, he ends up pinch running in this one, and he swipes second base. He comes around to score after being a pinch runner for Dom Smith, who singled in the eighth inning. So he plays a role in this. The Red Sox lead the American League right now in stolen bases because you have guys like David Hamilton. You have Seydon Rafaela, who, by the way, swipe second base after his go-ahead hit. And then on top of that, you have Jarren Duran at the top of this lineup. So this team all of a sudden has gone from mid as mid can be to exciting. And you're starting to see the upside of these young players. And it does increase your ceiling for what this season could be. Of course, these guys have to continue to progress. But Seydon Rafaela is hitting .377 this month. And you've seen flashes of him already as a guy that's going to be a productive big league player. Now you're starting to see the ingredients and it all come together for a guy that I would be shocked if he doesn't make at least one All-Star game appearance in his career. And honestly, I could see him being a multi-All-Star type of guy. There's still, of course, a lot of room to get there, but he's just so dynamic, and when it's all clicking, he's so exciting. And honestly, there are a lot of guys on this team you could say that for. Jarren Duran is obviously another one of them. He didn't really start tonight. It was the Seydon Rafaela show, and then on top of that, Tyler O'Neill's back, baby. The Canadian, killing it in Toronto. Two hits tonight. A double, came around to score in the second inning. And then a solo shot, 408 feet off the bat in that eighth inning to tie it up at three. And again, the Red Sox win it by a score of 4-3 tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's now hear from Alex Cora and what he had to say after the Red Sox fourth consecutive win.
Getting back to the go-go Sox there in the eighth inning, huh?
Start with a big swing, right? We had a matchup we like, you know, the left against the righty, and Tio put a good swing on it, and then, you know, we were waiting for the right moment, you know, to use Hammy. Of course, we needed to get on base, and, you know, Dom with a good at bat, they brought the righty, Hammy was go from the get-go. He did a good job, and then, you know, Rafaela with the swing. So it was fun. The pitching part of it today was good. You know, just bad luck for Tanner. You know, just the double was hit hard. Besides that, he was in control, and a good doubling.
How much more dynamic do you feel the offense is getting?
We're grinding at bats. You know, Bassett, he's one of the best in our division and in the big leagues. His ability to throw the cutter up, the sinker into lefties, mixing up the breaking ball. He controls that pitch clock, too. You know, he does a good job with it. And, you know, it was a grind for a while there, but we got him out in six innings, and then we did work with the their bullpen.
You've been saying for a while you thought this team had a run in it. Is this the start of something?
Well, I mean, it's, what, four in a row? And 7 out of 9. So yeah, it's been good. It's been good, and we're playing good baseball. It seems like everybody's locked in and understanding their roles, how we're gonna use them, and it's been fun to watch. That was a very intense game, a really good game, and we were able to win it.
Just Rafael, I know we talked about it last night, but how much more confident are you with him in that spot than maybe you would have been during some of the struggle points?
I think in that spot he's been successful the whole season, right? He's leading the team in RBIs. He's been able to control the at-bats, use the other field. He's been doing a good job. And now you look at the numbers, and he's probably above average in batting average, right? And, playing good defense. And we knew that it was going to be a struggle early in the season, but right now he's in a good spot.
He's hitting like 370 in June. Just a lot more kind of contact than before.
I think he made some adjustments with his stance, where his hands are, and he's swinging the right pitches. You know, he's not chasing as much.
Whether it's opening days, going back to St. Louis, coming home to Canada, Tyler just seems to kind of thrive on those big...
We need that more. We need more of that. Tech, there's a running joke out there with Tech. He checks what national days in Canada, and it's opening day, you know, and he makes sure Tyler knows. I mean, one of the best, right? And, he lived a great life. We used to go there to AT&T Park, and he was always around. It was a joy to watch, you know, to talk to him. He's a good friend of Cepeda, you know, and we were always able to talk about him and learn about him. You know, he will be missed, you know, but what a life, man. You know, he was awesome.
You learned about him from Mr. Cepeda.
And Manny too. Manny Mota used to talk about him, you know. So we were taught the right way, you know. We had people around us, you know, through our young life, you know, and then people that knew baseball. And they said Clemente and Mace out there, they were really freaking good. We're good.
All right, so that's Alex Cora talking after the Red Sox 4-3 win over the Blue Jays. Of course, he's talking at the end there about Willie Mays, who passed away today at the age of 93, the Say Hey Kid. And we're going to get into that a little bit later on in our show. I definitely want to hit on that because Willie Mays is arguably the greatest baseball player ever. And not only for what he did, you know, for the game, on the field, the statistics, but of course, the joy he brought so many people of the past generations who actually had a chance to watch him, but how his clips, including that incredible play in the 1954 World Series against Cleveland, how that play still lives on as the greatest catch ever. I definitely will be hitting on that later in the program. But a lot of good stuff there from Alex Cora about Seydon Rafaela and the way he's swung the bat. And I thought he made a good point about how he has been, you know, just so key from a run production standpoint this year and how he leads this team in RBIs. You wouldn't expect that out of a rookie, but he came into today with 40 RBIs, and again, he delivers the go-ahead hit in this one that gives them a 4-3 lead in the eighth inning, an RBI single. So now he's up to 41. That leads all rookies, and the sky's the limit for him. The physical tools are so impressive, but what was holding him back is he's still so raw at the plate. That looks like it's starting to change a little bit, and I mean, Zach, do you think that my declaration that this guy's bound now, at least I think from what you're seeing from him, that he's bound for an All-Star game or two?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, we're seeing the swing decisions. They're a lot better. He's not chasing as much outside of the zone, specifically on sliders down and away. And with the All-Star game, it's so volatile that like pretty much anybody can make it by having a great first half. And I think he's completely capable of having a fantastic first half and getting his way onto an All-Star team.
And he's been such a spark plug. I was actually looking at his splits coming into this show. I thought what was interesting, I usually don't look at this, but the game outcomes for team. And his OPS and wins coming into tonight, 935, losses, 358. So in a lot of ways, when he goes, the team goes, and that was the case again tonight with three hits. Again, if you want to chime in, 617-779-7937 after the Red Sox have now won four in a row with the 4-3 win tonight over the Blue Jays. Are you starting to get pulled in a little bit? Is that Boston optimism starting to turn because the Celtics finally got it done yesterday, and now the Red Sox might be actually giving you an interesting season with all these young guys? Let us know what you're thinking, and you can also text us at 37937 as well, along with the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones and check in with Mike from Connecticut. Mike, good to speak to you, man. It's been a bit.
Super Joe Wild. We're starting to turn the corner.
I would say another win tonight.
So, I'll tell you one thing, though, Joe. The weak link on this team is Yoshida. I mean, he just rolls over that ground ball to second base.
Wait, Mike, he got a big hit. Just to give him some love, I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong because his stats don't look great this year, but he did have a big hit tonight, that one in the sixth inning that tied it.
Yoshida got a big hit tonight?
Yeah, he tied up the game. He tied it up in the sixth inning.
I gotta plead innocence to that, so I didn't see it. Well, if he did, then kudos, but I don't know, Joe. But let's not talk about a downer. The thing is, they're right there, Joe. We're going to give Baltimore the Yankees a wild card. We know that, so they got to go by two teams. I'm going to be very disappointed with the way the team is playing if the ownership doesn't go out and make some moves, because, you know, they do have a legitimate shot to be a wild card this year.
Yeah, Mike, and I appreciate the call. And this is going to be the big question, right? If the Red Sox continue to play well, does the front office, does ownership decide that going forward at the deadline to add some piece that might be out there is truly worth it? And I know this song and dance gets tiring when you do it year after year. And the Sox last year, they didn't make the move, right? And they were in it. They weren't actually in a wild card spot, but they were close to one by the time the trade deadline rolled around. And then Chaim Bloom didn't pull the trigger on anything. And then, you know, the bottom falls out on the whole thing. And the Red Sox end up finishing in last place again for a second straight year. So it becomes more of an interesting question as the Red Sox continue to win, because they're playing great baseball right now. They just are. They're beating good teams. Again, the Blue Jays aren't necessarily a good team, but you want to take care of a team in the division. They've done that. They're beating bad teams this year, which is something that they didn't do last year. So they're taking care of business against, you know, parts of the schedule that are more cupcake compared to the series that they just had in their homestand where they're facing the Phillies and the Yankees. And I just want to say this before we have to head to a break here. You go back to that Phillies series last week. They lose the first game. They're down 4-0 in the second game, in the middle part of that game. I don't know, Zach, I don't know if you were tuned in at this point. Where was your mind at that point? Did you think, okay, this is the season right here?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough not to feel that way. You're down 4-0 to the Phillies. You just lost the first game. Then you have the Yankees coming in, staring you in the face. So it's hard not to think like, all right, well, this is where the season turns and it's all downhill from here. We're selling at the deadline and that's the end of that.
It was the Sox were 33-34 going into that game. You think about if they lose, what they had coming up with the Yankees, who still have the best record in baseball, though Judge might be out now for a bit after he got hit in the hand with a pitch in his left hand. But instead, they've gone in opposite direction. And now they're giving you something exciting. It depends where it goes from here. There's still plenty of time for it to go south again. But you're starting to see a glimmer of hope. And especially with these young guys that are starting to produce, like Zaidan Rafaela, like David Hamilton, who I think we were all ready to kick to the curb at at a pretty recent point, but he's turned things around and proven to be a pretty productive big league player. You can thank Chaim Bloom for that one, for what he's turned into, the speed dynamic. And you don't miss Hunter Renfroe. Let's be honest with each other. Again, 617-779-7937. This is Red Sox Review. Sox win 4-3 over the Blue Jays. They're four games above 500 at 39-35. Back with more Red Sox Review right after this on WEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
No, the pitch. Swinging a high drive into center field. Kiermaier is back at the track, at the wall. He leaps. He can't get it. Goodbye, Tyler O'Neill. Say hey, a game-tying home run. And it's 3-3 in Toronto. Well, the Blue Jays have Chad Green up in the bullpen. They decided to stick with Little, and Tyler O'Neill made them pay.
Tyler O'Neill's back. The man we saw at the beginning of the season, he's swinging it like that here in the month of June. Two-hit night, a double, and that home run that tied it up at three. Red Sox win 4-3 tonight over the Toronto Blue Jays. Joe Wild with you here inside the WEEI studios here for Red Sox Review. And that was the highlight from today's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Hurry in. Epic offers are going fast at the Nissan Thrill of Summer sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Zach Coe behind the glass. Big win for the Red Sox again because they take their third consecutive series. They're now four games above 500, and love the call there from Will Fleming. A nod to Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid who passed away today at the age of 93. We're going to get into that in our final segment. We're going to take you up to around 11:40 here for Red Sox Review. But we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937 as the Red Sox continue to roll. And I said this in the Nissan postgame show when we were still on the full network. For those 500 jokes, I've been making them a lot because the Red Sox, I believe, have hit it now 18 times this year, but they've created a little distance now, and it was a collective effort, and they have guys that have really just developed into key type of players, like Seydon Rafaela this month. He's starting to really show that promise, that the reason they signed him to an extension right after the season started, and they see him as one of their big pieces moving forward. He has three hits tonight. You have Jarren Duran, who night in, night out, has just been able to post, which is remarkable in today's day and age because so many guys get some rest, there's load management, or they get hurt in whatever way. Jarren Duran's played every single game. Tonight wasn't really his night, but that doesn't matter because he's still out there contributing in some way. A lot of times it's defensively when he's not swinging, or just his speed and what element he can bring to a game. But then on top of that, Tanner Houck, solid on the mound again today. It's amazing that he's made 15 starts now. Now, today was not a quality start. He was one out shy of it. And a little bit of bad luck because Isaiah Kiner-Falefa just hit this dribbling ball down the right field line that gave the Blue Jays the lead in the sixth inning. And he ends up getting taken out after that. This was not his best start, but just two earned runs in 5 2/3 innings. And you look at that and you say, you almost say it's like kind of disappointing with just how freaking good this guy is. He's starting pitcher in the All-Star game level of good this year. Leads all big league starters in Fangraphs WAR. Wins above replacement. And today, he keeps them in the game at the very least when he's not at his absolute best. And that part is key. Because the offense, as they have now over the last nine games, they've really stepped things up. And they have, in a lot of ways, led the way for this Red Sox team. I want to rattle off some numbers here, just the way the Red Sox have played over their last nine games. 7-2 record. They're hitting .305 in this span. And their bullpen's been really good. 2.45 ERA. And then if you actually distill it down to a more simple level here, last seven games, 338 average, 947 OPS. This team is mashing, and it's just a night and day difference from what we saw in May, now what we're seeing in June. I mean, Zach, how many times did we watch this team in May and be like, okay, if they put up maybe four runs, you felt like that was a little bit of a miracle?
It felt like at least multiple times a week. The offense was really, really boring to watch for several periods of time back in May.
Yeah, and now it's a completely different story with this team kind of figuring itself out. And again, just a lot of the young guys finding themselves at the plate. I have some of the hitting numbers for, you know, the month of May. They were 20th in runs scored. They were 22nd in on-base percentage. They struck out a lot. They were fourth worst in that category in terms of strikeout percentage. OPS was sitting at 19th. This month, coming into tonight, they were first in average, first in on-base percentage, first in OPS. And then they've been walking a lot, too, which is really encouraging for a team that, again, in the month of May, they didn't do that. They were 22nd in the sport in terms of their walk rate. So they've been patient. And not on top of that, they're doing damage, and guys are stepping up again. You have O'Neill swinging the bat, red hot. Again, Nick Robertson, Victor Santos. That's all you traded to get Tyler O'Neill. And I've been waiting a long time to bring that back up, Zach, because that was my go-to line in April. And then in May, he tailed off. He's back. Tyler O'Neill's back. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Glenn in New Orleans. He wants to talk about the starting pitching. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Oh, doing all right. Doing all right.
You know, it's a nice little streak, but you know, they're going to start a 10-game stretch where they score 20 runs over 10 games and lose 7 out of 10, something like that. So, but the starting pitching is my concern. I don't know how Houck's going to keep holding up as the innings mount up, and Crawford's been decent behind him, but after that, Bayo and Pivetta, we've been down this road before, and then you have an open spot. They sent Criswell down, and they're going to call him back up when his spot comes back up, or they're going to go with another opener.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to kind of piece it together with Martin getting activated off the injured list, and it gives them a little bit of time to kind of figure out what they want to do with Cooper Criswell. That was, Glenn, that was a little surprising to me. I didn't expect that to be the case, considering you felt like Criswell was a guy that had solidified his spot in the rotation since Garrett Whitlock's obviously out for the year. But you know, they end up doing it just to create a little bit of roster flexibility. You get Martin back, you can kind of figure it out. And the reality is Cooper Criswell, now he has to spend time in AAA Worcester. I believe it's for 15 days before he can get called back up.
Yeah, well, I was unaware of that. I'm not up to date on all of the different rulings when you send people down and whatnot. But you know, this going to the opener, you know what that leads to. It's been the last few years where the bullpen is worn down by August, and because of using two openers every 5 days. And like I said, Crawford's holding steady and behind Houck, but the last few outings, Houck really hasn't looked all that sharp. Now, you know, he's made it through. He's a good pitcher, no doubt, but like I said, I don't know what his high in innings are, but he must be on pace to surpass whatever his career high is. And that's what concerns me. And like I said, they're gonna hit their little old dry spell like they always do. You know, Neil's going to go back into a funk where he doesn't hit for a couple of weeks. So it's too much inconsistency all around for me to get excited about, you know, maybe the number six wild card spot. But anyway, you know, they're playing well right now, so good for them, and hopefully they can continue it. Nice talking to you, Joe.
Hey, Glenn, as always, appreciate you chiming in. I do want to follow up, though, on something that he just said. He said his last couple starts, and we always appreciate when Glenn from New Orleans chimes in. I always love hearing from him. If you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. He said his last couple starts, Zach, have been disappointing. You want to hear what he's done in his last couple starts? Ready for this? So we'll go three starts ago. We'll start there. Against Detroit, May 31st. This is Tanner Houck we're talking about. One run in seven innings. That was on May 31st. All right, let's go to his now third to last start, if you include tonight. So this was against the White Sox on June 6th. Two runs in seven innings. Let's go back to the second to last start, if you include tonight. So that's the one against the Phillies in that series. And the Phillies are the best team of the National League. So let's remember that as the context of this. Three runs in six innings. What do those all have in common?
Those are all quality starts.
Exactly. He has completely changed the perception of himself as a pitcher. That somebody like Glenn, and again, we love Glenn. We appreciate when he chimes in. Somebody like Glenn can call in and say, he hasn't been as good recently. When you throw all those starts together, it's six earned runs in 20 innings. This is how much he's changed the perception of himself. If this is the Tanner Houck of last year or the year prior, what we'd be saying is, hey, can he make it through five innings? Can he give us five or at least a little bit more? Can he make it through the third time through the order? And now we're at the point where two earned runs in 5 2/3 innings is disappointing. That is how much he's changed his own perception within this fan base. And it's a testament to him that he can remake his career the way he has and be this type of pitcher. Where you look at him on the mound and it's a game he starts and it's, hey, we need to win this one. We got our ace on the mound. He was a number five starter coming into the season. In a rotation that everybody, myself included, I'm not giving myself the out here, I was amongst the people that said, this is probably the weak spot of the team. And he has done this. And I hope he becomes the All-Star Game starting pitcher. And let's give some love to Jaron Duran, too, from an outfield spot. I saw Will tweet that out, Will Fleming, about where he sits in terms of the All-Star voting, and it's not where you'd think for a fan base, for, you know, the Red Sox fan base that I know is sort of down a little bit right now. But at the same time, you gotta give some love to Jaron Duran. Zach, I know you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, just on Houck. I think it was in spring training. He talked to Bradfoe and said that the Red Sox had approached him about an extension. And I remember a bunch of people on Red Sox Twitter being like, "Well, like, let's pump the brakes maybe on the Tanner Houck extension. Let's wait and see what he does." And obviously they give that extension to Bayo, who hasn't been as sharp. And now you see those same people being like, "Well, why are we extending Bayo when we had Tanner Houck sitting right there asking for an extension?" Like, it's just crazy. Like you said, he was a fringe starter coming into the year, and he's turned himself into the solidified number one of the best pitching staffs in baseball right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And again, I think he should be the American League starting pitcher for the All-Star game. It's been that good of a performance so far this year that he came into tonight tied for the Major League Baseball leading quality starts, best FIP, if that means anything to you, which it should, although it's not the sexiest stat. And then that's like the super nerd stat. I mean, it's not the nerdiest one, but I don't even like to use it that much because I'm like, where am I going to lose people? And then on top of that, he doesn't give up home runs. That's just another part of his game. And yeah, he was solid tonight. Again, he's not the main story, but the fact that we're at the point now where Glenn can call in or anybody can think about this start and go, he was okay. Well, that's the type of outing you would have loved to get out of him last year. But the narrative is flipped, and that's been really special to see. And it's one of those big plot points for this Red Sox season that you can look at and actually all season long and say, this has been really fun to watch. Other guys, you've had to ride the wave. Guys like Sadon Rafaela, like Tyler O'Neill, where they've had some real low points. But tonight, one of those nights where you get to ride it high. And we'll hear from Tanner Houck coming up in our next segment as we continue along here on Red Sox Review. We will also be touching on Willie Mays as well. He passed away today at the age of 93. And what I would love is for people to call in and if they want to share their recollections or impressions about Willie Mays and where he ranks in your hierarchy for greatest baseball players of all time. Is he the top guy? or do you have Babe Ruth, or do you have somebody else? Do you have Big Poppy? Whatever you believe, I want to hear from you. But Willie Mays, one of the greatest, or if not the greatest player of all time, passes away tonight at the age of 93. We'll get more into it coming up next, and then we'll get you set up for tomorrow. Also, for the Red Sox, as they try to close out a sweep against the Blue Jays, we'll break down this game a little bit more. All that coming up on Red Sox Review. But let's go to Zach Coe with what's trending here on WEI.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Your Boston Celtics are 2024 NBA Finals champions after defeating the Mavericks in Game 5 at the Garden last night. The Celtics finally claim Banner 18. Jaylen Brown was your Finals MVP, taking home both the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and the Finals MVP. They'll have a couple of days to celebrate before firing up the duck boats for their parade, which is set for Friday morning in the streets of Boston. The Red Sox defeated the Blue Jays by a final score of 4-3 tonight. Tanner Houck got the start for the Sox, going 5 2/3, allowing 3 runs on 7 hits, striking out 5, while Seidan Rafaela stayed hot, delivering the game-winning base knock in the 8th inning. They'll look to sweep the Blue Jays tomorrow night in Toronto when Brian Baio takes the mound opposite Kevin Gausman for the Blue Jays. You can hear coverage of that game on the Shaws and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, starting at 6:07 with Rich Keefe on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Tyler Murray will have all the play-by-play action. First pitch is set for 7:07. Again, that's on the Shaws and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaws, perfecting the art of fresh. The Panthers had the opportunity to claim their first Stanley Cup in franchise history tonight in Game 5 in Sunrise. Unfortunately, they were unable to do that. The Oilers won by a final score of 5-3. Game 6 will be Friday night back in Edmonton as the Oilers look to force a Game 7. You heard Joe mention it, but sad news in the baseball world tonight as the San Francisco Giants announced that Hall of Famer Willie Mays passed away this afternoon. He was 93 years old. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Red Sox review coming up after this.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-0, swing and a shot in the left field. That's a base hit. Hamilton runs to third. He heads home. The kids have done it again. Rafaela drives home Hamilton, and it's 4-3 Red Sox. What can't Seidan Rafaela do? He's 16 for his last 26. Another three-hit game, and he may look to run now.
It's his third three-hit game in the last four, and no one's doing what the Red Sox are doing right now with speed and youth on the bases.
Seidan Rafaela, red hot right now. 7-game hitting streak, 6 multi-hit games in that span, 3 hits tonight, including the go-ahead knock that you just heard there with Will Fleming and Tyler Murray on the call. And that was one of the highlights from tonight's Nissan Red Sox post-game show. Hurry in. Epic offers are going fast at the Nissan Thrill of Summer Sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Zach Coe, man in the ones and twos behind the glass. We're going to go about 15 more minutes here, so if you want to get your calls in, 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. We're going to continue to touch on the win tonight here for the Red Sox. They win 4-3 again against the Blue Jays, so they now won 4 in a row and 7 of their last 9. We're also going to touch on the passing of Willie Mays, who passed away at the age of 93 today. We'll get into some of his numbers, his legacy, of course, for what he's left behind in the game of baseball. Of course, just on top of that, what he's done for this nation and the imagination of sports fans everywhere, because he was such a titanic figure, and what he was able to accomplish in the game was just absolutely remarkable. But we'll continue to focus on the Red Sox game first. We'll get to that. But as it pertains to Willie Mays, what we do want to hear from you, if you'd like to chime in, 617-779-7937, or texting us at 37937 as well. What we'd be interested in hearing is any recollections that you have of either watching Willie Mays, if you are old enough to have seen him, or impressions that you got of being able to see him in action, or even just the videos that you've been able to watch. Like myself, I'm 30 years old. I've been able to watch the old film. I've seen the famous catch in the 1954 World Series, but we want to hear from you where you also have him ranked among the greatest baseball players of all time. I have been convinced, thanks to Joe Posnanski, and I do want to read a little bit of what he wrote in the Baseball 100 book that he put out a couple years ago. It's also available on The Athletic still, in which he had Willie Mays ranked as his greatest player of all time in that number one spot. But we want to hear from you about where you have him ranked and what you remember about him as he lived his life, even if you didn't get a chance to see him actually play. But as it pertains to the Red Sox, we'll finish that off first. Again, they went 4-3, and Sadon Rafael, a big part of the action with those three hits. Tanner Houck, he got the start tonight, and we touched on this a little bit earlier. Not his best outing, but the expectations have changed for Tanner Houck, because he came into today, in terms of wins above replacement, as the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. So you expect him to go out and dominate, and when he doesn't do exactly that, you say, oh, not okay, what happened? Well, today he was still pretty good, because he allows just two earned runs in five and two-thirds innings, and he ends up getting the no decision. Here's what he had to say after the win.
Stuff was kind of flat again today. Oh, sorry. Felt like the slider kind of was very mid, and that's kind of my go-to pitch in big situations. All in all, you know, get through five and two-thirds. You know, fouled off a lot of good pitches, I felt like. Got the pitch count up, but, yeah, just, you know, some bloop singles, choppers, you know. Just a lot of weak contact, all in all. The only hard hit that really stands out in my mind is the double in that second inning. But all in all, you know, great team win. You know, glad to see the boys come back and do what they did, and the bullpen picking me up and you know, really doing the things that they've been doing all year. So, you know, great group of guys in here, super blessed to be around them.
Seems like, you know, comeback wins weren't that frequent earlier in the year. I feel like the offense started to develop a little bit of a kind of mojo here.
You know, I think the boys know who they are as a group, swinging it. A lot of speed on the base paths whenever they get on, and causes a lot of issues all around. As a pitcher, if you know you got wheels on first base, second base, you got to, you know, do your best to hold them, but... we got some guys that have top of the line speed across the league. So, super, you know, great win to come back there. T.O., you know, big home run. And ultimately, you know, guys coming in out of the bullpen, like I said, doing their job. But just good win for the boys.
Yeah, the bullpen was key in this one for the Sox. They do not allow a run. It was four different pitchers. Zach Kelly, who earns the win his first of the season, and he tosses an inning and a third scoreless, and he has been on a roll. You saw what he did against the Yankees, getting out of that bases loaded, nobody out jam two nights ago, but in the month of June, batters 0-26 against him in 8 2/3 innings pitched. What else could you say? I mean, he has been electric out of the bullpen for the Sox, which... They can use another good arm, and he's a guy that's really stepped up and been big time for him. And then on top of that, Brennan Bernardino, 2/3 of an inning pitch, one hit, no runs. Justin Slayton, he earns an out. And then Kenley Jansen wraps it up with a save, his 13th of the season. As much as we worried about Kenley Jansen at the beginning of the year, he's been pretty good out of the bullpen. And whatever the Red Sox end up deciding at the trade deadline, if they want to buy, which... I'd still feel like at this point they're probably still in, hey, if we can sell off a piece and get something valuable back, we should do that. Jansen at least is showing what he can provide for a contender if the Red Sox ultimately go that route. But you heard Tanner Houck say the stuff was still flat in this one. And to me, that's encouraging that despite his stuff being flat, he can still grit through a solid outing, even if it wasn't a quality start. But three runs in 5 2/3 innings, you're still giving the team a chance, which is exactly what he did tonight for the Sox. Again, they win it 4-3 over the Blue Jays. Got about 10 minutes left here on Red Sox Review, so if you want to get your calls in, 617-779-7937. Tyler O'Neill, one of the big stars as we've hit on tonight, he had a chance to catch up after the game with Will Fleming and Tyler Murray.
And now we got Tyler O'Neill down in the Red Sox dugout. Tyler, man, what a swing. You're just on fire here back in Canada. Apparently you must have had the coffee and the sour cream glaze again today. You are rolling. How does it feel to do this back in Canada?
That's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome, man. I came here and put a good performance in front of the Canadian fans, man, having a good time. I definitely got my donuts in this morning, so something to it for sure.
We're going to build one by Fenway Park, if that's okay by you.
Oh, I would love that.
How you feeling health-wise, Tyler? It looks like you're back to your early season form. Would you agree with that right now?
Yeah, no, I feel good in there. I feel good. You know, obviously it's mid-June, so stuff that we're working through, of course. But, you know, the boys are taking good care of me. Alex takes good care of me, you know, gives me my time off when I need it. You know, they're just making sure they're managing it the right way. Just a group effort, man. These guys are awesome for me and just keeping me fresh and letting me produce the way I need to produce.
You know, Tyler, it's not just the bat that lets us know you're feeling good, because early in the season you made so many great running plays, coming in on balls, going into gaps, and you did that consistently here tonight, taking hits away in the gaps. Defensively, you're kind of flying around. The legs must be under you.
Yeah, no, I feel fast again, man. That's the good part, right? I just feel like healthy. I feel fast. I feel like me. You know, I can just go out there and compete. You know, I'm not thinking, second guessing my body or not feeling a certain type of way. Just out there competing, focusing on the game, and just getting her done. So that's how we do it.
You hit the home run to tie it in the eighth, then you get the medal, and then you get to watch the kids go to work. Hamilton and Rafaela combining to get that winning run. What's it like watching this young, talented team take care of business like that?
Yeah, we got a lot of depth, man. We got a lot of depth. Those guys, they're coming in clutch, man. Rafa's been on fire. Awesome to see him in the nine hole, just raking. He's such a good player, man. He's got so much talent, such a high ceiling. So fun to watch. So just want to get up there and, you know, get him in when I get that opportunity. You know, those guys are taking care of themselves and doing it the right way. So it's awesome to see.
Question that's really interested us all week long, Tyler. We know you're a Canucks fan, but the Edmonton Oilers are trying to claw their way back into the Stanley Cup Finals. Is there like a countrywide push to get the Oilers past the Panthers?
Yeah, I would say so, man. I think all Canadians want to see that cup come north of the border. It was a big eruption here when they showed the scoreboard, the updated scoreboard here in Toronto. You know, obviously Edmonton was winning 3-0. I don't know what happened there at the end of the game, but they were up for a bit and everyone was pumped up. So that's awesome to see, and hopefully they take it home.
Donuts tomorrow, coffee tomorrow, and a couple more bombs. How about it?
Nah, it's a pretty good gig, isn't it?
It is. Thanks so much, T.O.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so that's Tyler Murray. Tyler O'Neill with the guys, Tyler Murray and Will Fleming. Awesome to hear that conversation. As we heard from Zach's update, we're going to game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals between Edmonton and Florida. Zach, you're more of a hockey guy than I am. What do we think of that series?
So I thought it was over tonight. You might have caught in my trending. I said, unfortunately, the Panthers were unable to win that one. I may or may not have had some monetary investment in that one.
It did catch my ear when you said, unfortunately. I'm like, okay, you must have had a rooting interest in this one. Yeah. And I know you're a Bruins guy, so I know it's not like you're actually a fan of either of these teams.
Yeah, I thought it would have been similar to what we saw play out in Celtics Mavericks, where game 4 we saw the Mavericks say, all right, we're not getting swept. They came out with a good effort, got a win, and then they went back to Boston and folded like a lawn chair. I thought we were going to see that again tonight.
And again, if you want to chime in here to Zach's Stanley Cup talk, you can do so, but also here on Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937 as we wrap things up. We got about 5 minutes left here on the program, and as I've been teasing for the entire show, I did want to hit on the passing of Willie Mays, who passed away at the age of 93 today. A huge loss for the game of baseball and just the country at large. And the New York Times, as they always do, they have a great obituary about Willie Mays, and it encompasses his entire life. And he had been the oldest living member of the Baseball Hall of Fame before he ended up passing, but the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, they announced his passing, and he died in Palo Alto in an assisted living facility that he lived in, according to the Giants. And I had been asking people to chime in with their favorite Willie Mays stories, if you have them here on WEI, and we actually have somebody that wants to pass along a Willie Mays story. It's Patrick from Brockton. He joins us via the phone line. Hey, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Interesting show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
I'm a little saddened by Willie. He certainly was one of the best ever. I was fortunate enough to have an uncle whose wife couldn't bear children, and he doted baseball on my twin brother and my 15-month older brother. And between Braves Field, which later became BU's football field, Fenway literally took us to over 100 ball games. In the World Series while we were in high school, 54, 55, and 56, specifically about the Willie Mays catch, 1993, Sports Illustrated, who started in 1954, and I've done a photo shoot with him regarding a ski situation, but I'm a pro skier. But anyway, it turned out that in 93, they came out with a calendar they called Classic Moments in Sports. So all your audience out there can think of any major lifetime event in sports that might make the calendar. In one of those 12 pictures, the Willie Mays catch is on the cover.
Yeah.
And in center field, there's a facade. The stands wall to the right and left of dead center was only 3.5 feet high. And in the photo, it appears as though I'm in the third row. We're actually in the 18th row because of the facade. You couldn't use the first 15 feet. You couldn't see anything but a wall. And in the calendar photo, it's also done in sequence in a lot of books, sports books. In fact, the fellow came in our station about 3 years ago, a writer from out of town. He brought up the Willie Mays catch, and he started talking about how he almost got a double play on that ball. Well, he was totally wrong. It seems that historians distort history. The fact of the matter is, if you look at the sequence photos, he whirled around to throw because his back was to home plate when he caught it. But he lost his balance and went over backwards. The cutoff man had to go out and get the ball. And there were two men on base. And when my sister saw the photo, she could see it's a 15 by 15 photo on this calendar cover. She said, "How come you're not looking at the catch?" Well, when he went up to the wall just before he made the catch, he went out of view. But they were hometown crowd. They were playing Cleveland Indians, and all the press had been saying prior to the World Series, as good as the Giants and Willie Mays are, they're not going to win the World Series because Cleveland has a all-time record because it's the longest season now that will never be broken, but they won 111 games in that short season. Well, it turned out the Giants won all four games in a row. On PBS, GBH, you can find this in good luck.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-0. Swing and a shot in the left field. That's a base hit. Hamilton runs to third. He heads home. The kids have done it again. Rafaela drives home Hamilton, and it's 4-3 Red Sox. What can't Seydon Rafaela do? He's 16 for his last 26. Another three-hit game, and he may look to run now.
It's his third three-hit game in the last four, and no one's doing what the Red Sox are doing right now with speed and youth on the bases.
Seydon Rafaela, red hot right now. Seven-game hitting streak, six multi-hit games in that span, three hits tonight, including the go-ahead knock that you just heard there with Will Fleming and Tyler Murray on the call. And that was one of the highlights from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Hurry in. Epic offers are going fast at the Nissan Thrill of Summer Sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Zach Coe, man in the ones and twos behind the glass. We're going to go about 15 more minutes here. So if you want to get your calls in, 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. We're going to continue to touch on the win tonight here for the Red Sox. They win 4-3 again against the Blue Jays. So they now won four in a row and seven of their last nine. We're also going to touch on the passing of Willie Mays, who passed away at the age of 93 today. Get into some of his numbers, his legacy, of course, for what he's left behind in the game of baseball. Of course, just on top of that, what he's done for this nation and the imagination of sports fans everywhere. because he was such a titanic figure, and what he was able to accomplish in the game was just absolutely remarkable. But we'll continue to focus on the Red Sox game first. We'll get to that. But as it pertains to Willie Mays, what we do want to hear from you, if you'd like to chime in, 617-779-7937, or texting us at 37937 as well. What we'd be interested in hearing is any recollections that you have of either watching Willie Mays, if you are old enough to have seen him, or impressions that you got of being able to see him in action, or even just the videos that you've been able to watch. Like myself, I'm 30 years old. I've been able to watch the old film. I've seen the famous catch in the 1954 World Series. But we want to hear from you where you also have him ranked among the greatest baseball players of all time. I have been convinced, thanks to Joe Posnanski, and I do want to read a little bit of what he wrote in the Baseball 100 book that he put out a couple of years ago. It's also available on The Athletic still, in which he had Willie Mays ranked as his greatest player of all time in that number one spot. But we want to hear from you about where you have him ranked and what you remember about him as he lived his life, even if you didn't get a chance to see him actually play. But as it pertains to the Red Sox, we'll finish that off first. Again, they went 4-3, and Seydon Rafael, a big part of the action with those three hits. Tanner Houck, he got the start tonight, and we touched on this a little bit earlier. Not his best outing, but the expectations have changed for Tanner Houck, because he came into today, in terms of wins above replacement, as the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. So you expect him to go out and dominate, and when he doesn't do exactly that, you say, oh, not okay, what happened? Well, today he was still pretty good, because he allows just two earned runs in five and two-thirds innings, and he ends up getting the no decision. Here's what he had to say after the win.
Stuff was kind of flat again today. Oh, sorry. Felt like the slider kind of was very mid, and that's kind of my go-to pitch in big situations. All in all, you know, get through five and two-thirds. You know, fouled off a lot of good pitches. I felt like got the pitch count up, but yeah, just, you know, some bloop singles, choppers, you know, just a lot of weak contact. All in all, the only hard hit that really stands out in my mind is the double in that second inning. But all in all, you know, great team win. You know, glad to see the boys come back and do what they did, and the bullpen picking me up, and you know, really doing the things that they've been doing all year. So you know, great group of guys in here. Super blessed to be around them.
Seems like, you know, comeback wins weren't that frequent earlier in the year. I feel like the offense started to develop a little bit of a kind of mojo here.
Yeah. You know, I think the boys know who they are as a group, swinging it. A lot of speed on the base paths whenever they get on, and causes a lot of issues all around. As a pitcher, if you know you got wheels on first base, second base, you got to, you know, do your best to hold them, but we got some guys that have top of the line speed across the league. So super, you know, great win to come back there. T.O., you know, big home run. And ultimately, you know, guys coming in out of the bullpen, like I said, doing their job. But just good win for the boys.
Yeah, the bullpen was key in this one for the Sox. They do not allow a run. It was four different pitchers. Zach Kelly, who earns the win his first of the season, and he tosses an inning and a third scoreless, and he has been on a roll. You saw what he did against the Yankees, getting out of that bases loaded, nobody out jam two nights ago. But in the month of June, batters 0-26 against him in 8 2/3 innings pitched. What else could you say? I mean, he has been electric out of the bullpen for the Sox, which they can use. They can use another good arm, and he's a guy that's really stepped up and been big time for them. And then on top of that, Brennan Bernardino, 2/3 of an innings pitch, one hit, no runs. Justin Slayton, he earns an out. And then Kenley Jansen wraps it up with a save, his 13th of the season. As much as we worried about Kenley Jansen at the beginning of the year, he's been pretty good out of the bullpen. And whatever the Red Sox end up deciding at the trade deadline, if they want to buy, which I'd still feel like at this point they're probably still in, hey, if we can sell off a piece and get something valuable back, we should do that. Jansen at least is showing what he can provide for a contender if the Red Sox ultimately go that route. But you heard Tanner Houck say the stuff was still flat in this one. And to me, that's encouraging that despite his stuff being flat, he can still grit through a solid outing, even if it wasn't a quality start. But 3 runs in 5 2/3 innings, you're still giving the team a chance, which is exactly what he did tonight for the Sox. Again, they win it 4-3 over the Blue Jays. Got about 10 minutes left here on Red Sox Review. So if you want to get your calls in, 617-779-7937. Tyler O'Neill, one of the big stars as we've hit on tonight. He had a chance to catch up after the game with Will Fleming and Tyler Murray.
And now we got Tyler O'Neill down in the Red Sox dugout. Tyler, man, what a swing. You're just on fire here back in Canada. Apparently you must have had the coffee and the sour cream glaze again today. You are rolling. How does it feel to do this back in Canada?
That's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome, man. I came here and put a good performance in front of the Canadian fans, man, having a good time. I definitely got my donuts in this morning, so something to it for sure.
We're going to build one by Fenway Park, if that's okay by you.
Oh, I would love that.
How you feeling health-wise, Tyler? It looks like you're back to your early season form. Would you agree with that right now?
Yeah, no, I feel good in there. I feel good. You know, obviously it's mid-June, so stuff that we're working through, of course. But, you know, the boys are taking good care of me. Alex takes good care of me, you know, gives me my time off when I need it. You know, they're just making sure they're managing it the right way. Just a group effort, man. These guys are awesome for me and just keeping me fresh and letting me produce the way I need to produce.
You know, Tyler, it's not just the bat that lets us know you're feeling good, because early in the season you made so many great running plays, coming in on balls, going into gaps, and you did that consistently here tonight, taking hits away in the gaps. Defensively, you're kind of flying around. The legs must be under you.
Yeah, no, I feel fast again, man. That's the good part, right? I just feel like healthy. I feel fast. I feel like me. You know, I can just go out there and compete. You know, I'm not thinking, second guessing my body or not feeling a certain type of way. Just out there competing, focusing on the game, and just getting her done. So that's how we do it.
You hit the home run to tie it in the eighth, then you get the medal, and then you get to watch the kids go to work. Hamilton and Rafaela combining to get that winning run. What's it like watching this young, talented team take care of business like that?
Yeah, we got a lot of depth, man. We got a lot of depth. Those guys, they're coming in clutch, man. Rafa's been on fire. Awesome to see him in the nine hole just raking. He's such a good player, man. He's got so much talent, such a high ceiling, so fun to watch. So just want to get up there and, you know, get him in when I get that opportunity. You know, those guys are taking care of themselves and doing it the right way, so it's awesome to see.
Question that's really interested us all week long, Tyler. We know you're a Canucks fan, but the Edmonton Oilers are trying to claw their way back into the Stanley Cup Finals. Is there like a countrywide push to get the Oilers past the Panthers?
Yeah, I would say so, man. I think all Canadians want to see that cup come north of the border. It was a big eruption here when they showed the scoreboard, updated scoreboard here in Toronto. You know, obviously Edmonton was winning 3-0. I don't know what happened there at the end of the game, but they were up for a bit and everyone was pumped up. So that's awesome to see, and hopefully they take it home.
Donuts tomorrow, coffee tomorrow, and a couple more bombs. How about it?
Nah, it's a pretty good gig, isn't it?
It is. Thanks so much, T.O.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so that's Tyler Murray. Tyler O'Neill with the guys, Tyler Murray and Will Fleming. Awesome to hear that conversation. As we heard from Zach's update, we're going to Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals between Edmonton and Florida. Zach, you're more of a hockey guy than I am. What do we think of that series?
So I thought it was over tonight. You might have caught in my trending. I said, unfortunately, the Panthers were unable to win that one. I may or may not have had some monetary investment in that one.
It did catch my ear when you said, unfortunately. I'm like, okay, you must have had a rooting interest in this one. Yeah. And I know you're a Bruins guy, so I know it's not like you're actually a fan of either of these teams.
Yeah, I thought it would have been similar to what we saw play out in Celtics Mavericks, where game 4 we saw the Mavericks say, all right, we're not getting swept. They came out with a good effort, got a win, and then they went back to Boston and folded like a lawn chair. I thought we were going to see that again tonight.
And again, if you want to chime in here to Zach's Stanley Cup talk, you can do so, but also here on Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937 as we wrap things up. We got about 5 minutes left here on the program, and as I've been teasing for the entire show, I did want to hit on the passing of Willie Mays, who passed away at the age of 93 today. A huge loss for the game of baseball and just the country at large. And the New York Times, as they always do, they have a great obituary about Willie Mays and encompass his entire life. And he had been the oldest living member of the Baseball Hall of Fame before he ended up passing. But the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, they announced his passing. And he died in Palo Alto in an assisted living facility that he lived in, according to the Giants. And I had been asking people to chime in with their favorite Willie Mays stories. If you have them here on WEI, and we actually have somebody that wants to pass along a Willie Mays story. It's Patrick from Brockton. He joins us via the phone line. Hey, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Interesting show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
I'm a little saddened by Willie. He certainly was one of the best ever. I was fortunate enough to have an uncle whose wife couldn't bear children, and he doted baseball on my twin brother and my 15-month older brother. And between Brace Field, which later became BU's football field, Fenway literally took us to over 100 ball games. In the World Series while we were in high school, 54, 55, and 56, specifically about the Willie Mays catch. 1993, Sports Illustrated, who started in 1954, and I've done a photo shoot with him regarding a ski situation, but I'm a pro skier. But anyway, it turned out that in 93, they came out with a calendar they called Classic Moments in Sports. So all your audience out there can think of any major, major lifetime event in sports that might make the calendar in one of those 12 pictures. Well, Willie Mays' catch is on the cover.
Yeah.
And in center field, there's a facade. The stands wall to the right and left of dead center was only 3.5 feet high. And in the photo, it appears as though I'm in the third row. We're actually in the 18th row because of the facade. You couldn't use the first 15 feet. You couldn't see anything but a wall. And in the calendar photo, it's also done in sequence in a lot of books, sports books. In fact, the fellow came in our station about 3 years ago, a writer from out of town. He brought up the Willie Mays catch, and he started talking about how he almost got a double play on that ball. Well, he was totally wrong. It seems that historians distort history. The fact of the matter is, if you look at the sequence photos, he whirled around to throw because his back was to home plate when he caught it. But he lost his balance and went over backwards. The cutoff man had to go out and get the ball. And there were two men on base. And when my sister saw the photo, she could see it's a 15 by 15 photo on this calendar cover. She said, "How come you're not looking at the catch?" Well, when he went up to the wall just before he made the catch, he went out of view. But they were hometown crowd. They were playing Cleveland Indians, and all the press had been saying prior to the World Series, as good as the Giants and Willie Mays are, they're not going to win the World Series because Cleveland has an all-time record because it's the longest season now that will never be broken. But they won 111 games in that short season. Well, it turned out the Giants won all four games in a row. On PBS, GBH, you can find this in good libraries. You can call GBH, and you can acquire the footage for Ken Burns' baseball series. And in the first 18 hours, because he added an extra inning, each inning is 2 hours long, two nines or 18, he added it after the 04 and 07 World Series, he added a 10th inning. But it's the only piece of movie in that whole 18 hours that they show a second time, and it's in slow-mo. And he's about to catch the ball. They freeze-frame the shot, and that's the shot you see on the calendar. And if you look right over the baseball, which is above his glove, into the what looks like the third row up, I'm standing up. You can see this woman sitting, shading her eyes. That's my aunt. And to my left is my twin brother and my 15-month older brother. And behind them, my uncle had gone to the bathroom and talking to the guy sitting behind us. So he's with his top hat. Men didn't wear baseball caps. They wore top hats like Sinatra would wear, okay? And he had on a loose tie. They wore neckties to ball games. There's so much I could tell you. I'd like to call you some other night when it's slow enough. Fill you in on some other stuff about the Subway Series, as they now call it. But they would let you into the ball game at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we went and we would get in a short line and pray for tickets. Of course, they were going to be the lousy seats because everybody with money had bought the World Series tickets. And we stayed with an uncle who worked the ballparks. He was a cop for the city of New York. I'll interject one thing about the Brooklyn and the Yankee series and talk about it maybe some other night. But my uncle got me an autographed ball of the whole Dodgers World Series champions. And there are now 9 guys on that baseball in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
So
So back to Willie, when that Cleveland played a couple of years back, they played for the first time with interleague play in Fenway. And I was down talking to a fellow, Al Wintz. He's since died, but he's in the Red Sox Hall of Fame. And he used to be at one of the service desks near the elevators that go up. And I sit in section 18 right on the aisle and right in the infield. But at any rate, it turns out that in that conversation, because it was the Giants, I was telling some of the kids working there the stories about that World Series. And this fellow was standing in the doorway. He's got a glove on. He had a baseball in his pocket, one in the glove and one in his hand. And he's kind of oogling over my conversation with these guys and the stories. And it turned out he had come all the way from California, and it was the second of the two games. The night before, he went up he paid for the Green Monster seats. I don't like sitting up there because you can't see the scoreboard, anything against the wall. You're looking at a TV. I can watch TV at home. And especially in the fall when all the scores and everybody's looking at that scoreboard that really is following who's going to be getting wild cards and whatever. You can't see any of that up in the Green Monster seats. But anyway, he had gotten a home run ball. He had a glove. He didn't catch it, but it bounced and he ended up getting it. So he was all excited to the point where we left the stadium. I talked to him for about an hour. And here's an ironic thing about Willie. Everybody knows his number is 24. Well, we sat on some steps with a brick wall behind us to a door, not the one at number four that goes upstairs. I've done work for the Sox. I'll skip all that for now, too. But at any rate, it turned out we're sitting in. He wanted to get a picture of the both of us. He was so excited about having met someone that had actually seen the catch and blah, blah, blah. And he was a big Willie fan, et cetera, and a Giants fan. So anyway, took the picture, and I gave him an address so he could stay in touch and all that, and then walked. And it was a night game, and when I spent so much time with him, I missed the damn subway home. I had to go to friends in Quincy by other means. I was fortunate that I didn't end up having to hitchhike in the dark.
It's unbelievable. And Patrick, that's a great, all that was fantastic. So I'm looking at the picture right now, and what we're talking about for the folks that are just tuning in, Willie Mays unfortunately passed away today at the age of 93. So I'm looking at the 1954 World Series catch, and I'm looking at the picture. So you're the kid in the third row that's standing up. Do I have that correct?
Well, it would be over his... They freeze frame the shot. The ball is about a foot or so over his glove.
Yep.
Then he's almost hitting the wall. And if you look straight over the baseball in his glove hand, you look up, you'll see... I think I got on a white shirt. I have the calendar in the other room. I should have grabbed it before I made the phone call. But at any rate, there would be, as you look at the picture, to your left, I would be standing. Then you can see there's a woman. You can tell she's got her hands over her eyes, sitting down, shading her eyes. And then two more guys standing up. That's my twin brother and my older brother. And then behind me, you can see a guy with a loose necktie and a top hat on. That's my Uncle Jerry.
Wow.
His middle name is actually Jerry. I told some Uncle Jerry stories to Jerry, who's the usher in Section 17. I see him quite a bit.
So and Patrick, how old were you in this when you went to this game?
I was in high school.
Oh my God.
54, 55, 6. I was in high school. I'm from the class of 56 at Brockton High.
Wow.
But
wow.
And in fact, some other time I'll call you and I'll tell you a story about a very close friend of mine. He's a professional ski instructor, deceased now, from North Conway, New Hampshire. It was a really terrific story. But he is the one who taught Ted Williams how to fly fish. And I've got an incredible story about Squally Saunders and myself and Ted Williams.
We'll save that, Patrick. We will definitely save that for another show. But thank you so much for calling in. This is exactly why I wanted to open it up to people. And it's amazing that you were there for such one of the seminal moments in American sports history. And he had a chance to actually see it live. And I think the calendar thing is really neat because that just shows how important that play is. It really is one of those timeless moments in American sports history, like when the U.S. won, beat the USSR in hockey in Lake Placid. You think about that in 1980. You think about Jordan rising over Byron Russell in game six of the 1998 NBA Finals. You think of like those seminal moments in our culture, and Willie Mays catches right at the top of the list. You learn about it as a kid. You have a chance now to see some of the film and the incredible part of it. And of course, as you just heard Patrick talk about there, it was a series that the Giants ended up sweeping against Cleveland in 1954. I want to end it with this as we play you out here with an incredible song as we honor one of the greatest members of the baseball community who ever lived, and one of the greatest players. I want to end it with Joe Posnanski's Baseball 100 list. This is what he writes. He had Willie Mays number one on this list. But even to the end, he sparked joy. What do you love most about baseball? Mays did that. To watch him play, to read the stories about how he played, to look at his glorious statistics, to hear what people had to say about him is to be reminded why we love this odd and ancient game in the first place. Yes, Willie Mays always made kids feel like grown-ups and grown-ups feel like kids. In the end, isn't that the whole point of baseball? Willie Mays passing away today at the age of 93. 24-time All-Star, World Series champion in 1954, two-time NL MVP, Rookie of the Year Award winner in 1951, and a 12-time Gold Glove Award winner, one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player in Major League Baseball history, passing away today at the age of 93. I want to thank Zach Coe. Great work behind the glass, as always. Great to be back with Zach. Red Sox, by the way, they won 4-3 today against the Toronto Blue Jays. Back tomorrow, looking for a sweep against the Blue Jays north of the border at the Rogers Center. 7:07 first pitch in that one. MassMutual pregame show starts at 6:07. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review here on WEI. Swings the bat like the little lady right. When they reach the ball, it's overripe. Say hey,
say hoo.